Welcome to Digital Humans, a podcast where we learn from leading experts about how we can harness technology to evolve our organizations and our lives. This podcast is sponsored by Smart Lab. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Digital Humans podcast. My name is George Seiler and I'm joined by my co-host Jesse Tung.
Hello.
This podcast is about learning from leading experts on how we can harness the best of digital to evolve our organizations and lives. It is about putting people at the center of transformation initiatives and harnessing the incredible opportunities that technology presents.
Today's episode is about harnessing the power of transformation, and we are delighted to be joined by our guest today, Teresa Macchia, Transformation Program Lead at Rolls-Royce.
Hello, hi. It's really great to be here.
As a digital transformation practitioner, Teresa leverages digital tools effectively enabling people to excel in their roles. A people-focused leader with an entrepreneurial mindset, and extensive experience working with large corporates in digital around the globe. So let's set the scene. Teresa, tell us a bit more about Rolls-Royce and your role as the transformation program lead there.
Well, Rolls-Royce is a well-known company, I guess. Last week was the anniversary of the first meeting between Rolls and Royce in Manchester 120 years ago. So I think it's quite an interesting thing because it's representing what innovation can be in general. Like meeting people is the first step. Talking together with others is always the first step. Sharing is the first step. This is what Rolls-Royce is. I think two new things that are coming out from Rolls-Royce today is the UltraFan and the electric engine for aircraft. The UltraFan is the new engine and is basically the engine of the future for aircraft. It can run 100% SAF, which is a sustainable aviation fuel. And it is massively sustainable because it reduces fuel burn by 25% and increasing the efficiency of engine 25%. So it's really what the future of aircraft is. And I don't know if you saw the picture of the new full electric aircraft, but it basically has big nose. It's quite cute. It looks a little bit like a cartoon. It's just the first prototype.
Well, that sounds exciting. And we look forward to experiencing the sustainable aircraft of the future. And tell us about your focus within the company.
In Rolls-Royce, I am focusing on how to understand the needs of my colleagues and how we can fulfill these needs with digital tools and working on the roadmap of digitalization. It's quite interesting when we talk about roadmap because it looks like that you have some time when you're not thinking about the future, but it's not actually the case. You always have to reflect on what you want in 5 years, in 10 years. So it's a continuum really rather than a momentum type of thing.
I would love to ask some questions around the ways of working because I'm very passionate in this area. Are there any unique ways of working at Rolls-Royce, particularly around the topic of transformation and digital, that you can share with us?
Well, Rolls-Royce is big. We are 60,000 people about across the globe. So there is just not one way of working, I think. But the overall culture is about sharing and giving space to people to learn new things all the time. And something that we do amazingly is this gig concept. So a person can always go and work on something new with a gig. So you can go for, I don't know, a month, 2 months, 3 months working in another department. And I think this is one of the basic things that we can do for embracing transformation and digitalization in general, because you always are in this learn type of curve. It's the first step, I guess, every time for digital transformation to start with people, with the culture, with embracing something new. And if you don't start with this type of mindset, you might lose the opportunity to see what digital can do for you. It's not the other way around. It's not that we are there for the digital and the technology. Technology is there for us. So by being in this learning type of setting, to learning type of environment, we also raise ourselves and we can discover new things about ourselves. And we discovered as well our superpower, because everyone has a superpower that is maybe hidden inside, just didn't have the occasion to come out because you were not in the right context or you didn't have the right tools or this type of occasion to shine and spark with your superpower.
This is great because it's good to hear that how people are empowered within your organization. And also you get to work on your own unique, like the things that you would like to work on. But then how do you deal with the conflicts? So the conflicts of the priorities from your managers, the urgent deadlines, if that happens, I mean, I'm sure there are scenarios that you have your passion, you have the things that you are passionate and you want to work on. But then at the same time, there's a deadline that is due tomorrow.
Conflicts are always an opportunity to learn something, to experience yourself and also to understand the others. If there is a conflict, and you look at that as an opportunity to grow or an opportunity to exchange rather than a negative occasion. I think it's all getting into this context of learning, really. Just a couple of weeks ago, I asked a colleague to do a review. So he was prepared to give me very bad feedback in his head, which is obviously not a conflict, but it could be seen as a conflicting way of seeing things. I could see that he was stressed because he was giving some negative feedback. And at the end of the day, it was an amazing opportunity because I didn't see some of the things that he saw. And he was super relieved because we started a conversation and we started working together on something new. So this is what conflict is about, I think, in general. It's really a way to get to the next step and to grow.
Teresa, you touched on a really interesting concept of discovering the superheroes within your teams and how people can be working on one thing, but actually they completely are energized when you give them the opportunity to tap into that energy. So I'm curious, how do you weave that way of thinking or this concept into the transformational work that you do? And obviously, related follow-on question, which superhero do you yourself feel connected with?
Well, I'm going with the easy one. The easy one is like, you know, who I'm connecting with as a superhero. So my favorite superhero, which is not really a superhero now, I'm understanding, because it's a wizard. So I love Neville Longbottom because he's always been goofy. I'm a really goofy person. I'm always doing mistakes. I'm really not like the perfect type of person, right? But then what happens to him is that he really wants to help. He really wants to be a good friend. He really wants to give everything that he has. And then what's happening is that he is putting himself in the first line because of this, because he wants to be part of the change. He wants to be part of a different type of situation. And then the thing is that he didn't have the right wand for himself, because he inherited his father's wand. And then when he started having his own tool, then the things went completely different. All his powers and all his magic came out. I relate very much with this. If I don't have my Moleskine to write my notes down, which is a silly thing, I feel a little bit lost because I have a lot of thoughts in my head and I want to throw them down.
Yeah. And what I like the most, Teresa, what you describe is you accept that you are not perfect, right? So as human being, none of us are. And then we will just have to accept that we are good at certain things and then we are not good at certain things. And then we are just have to just try to improve in certain areas. Yeah.
Very much. And I think this is how this is coming out in an organization, isn't it? So it's like giving the space and the opportunity to employees or to people in general to be themselves and to find their own oxygen. This is what digital transformation is about. Is about making sure that everyone can find their own superpowers via maybe these tools that we have. Today we have so many tools, but the thing is that we can use them in very different ways and make things happen.
I think you're touching on something as well around the power of network and the fact that if we are good in areas, but there are areas where we're not so strong or maybe not so inclined, but then if you take the time to get to know the people around you and to leverage the power of the network, you can also balance out the team so that as a whole, the team is strong.
Yeah. One of the challenges I found, the biggest challenges I found within digitalization is silos and the way to make sure that the transformation is succeeding is about reducing silos and increasing networking and increasing the ecosystem is essential. That is what to me is a digital transformation, really.
I agree 100%. What if the silos is created because of the political elements, whatever that is, in the large organization, which happens a lot?
It happens a lot, yes. So in my many different lives, working lives and lives in general, I noticed that silos is always the challenge that people are having when you're interviewing to try to understand what are the challenges, what are the strengths, the weaknesses, and so on. What is coming out is this silos, this fear and this burden of silos in organizations. In some cases, even though the silos is pushed from the top down, what is happening is that you can rely on the fact that human are human and are social animals, and you just need to give a little bit of space, and then the silos is step by step lowering and disappearing eventually.
You are listening to Digital Humans, sponsored by Smart Lab, a leading experience management platform for events, learning, and change. Teresa, what is exciting you about digital transformation at this moment in time?
In this moment in time. So it's like, it's quite interesting because I think digital transformation is something that we have been going through over the last 30 years somehow. And we have seen a big acceleration because today we have different type of digital technologies that are coming at a lower price. Something that is exciting me is that digitalization really can support and the way that we work and reduce mundane tasks and give us the space to make a difference and reduce distances. And if you reduce distances, you create a better sense of community and you can share and create gifts
To be honest, it's in line with our experience working with numerous organizations in different industries and sectors. One of the key pillars to making a transformation effort successful is to bring people together and to also make things easier for people. Because as you touched on earlier, we're overwhelmed with so many stimulus and tools and different pockets of information and interesting people and ideas in so many places. So how do you make sense of it? And also how do you leverage the power of the network? That's really at the heart of it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And also to be proud of, it's like with the new digital technologies that we have in our hand, we can do things easier, in an easier way and be proud of them.
Do you find as well, Teresa, the digital tools these days, they allow you to get a better quality expression of your ideas? So if you say, oh, I have an idea for like a digital product or a concept, time was you would have to just draw it on a napkin. But these days, with so many tools around us, you can conceptualize and visualize, and you can leverage things like AI tools, and all this works its way into expressing ideas in a more clear way, and then therefore communicating easier with the people around you to then evolve it.
It is very interesting to observe this dynamics and how the new support that we have across our lives is helping us in the way that we connect and communicate and share our ideas, or even understand and translate somebody else's idea and filter it. So the challenge is not to be overwhelmed by all these stimuli and all these technologies that we have, and at the same time embracing it. It's always a little bit like a balance that we should take into consideration. So there is always the good and the bad for everything. And our responsibility as humans, as people, is to make sure that we take the good things, we are not overcoming the good things, and we get to the next step.
My key takeaway based on the great conversations that you had was the digital transformations doesn't necessarily come with the big price tag anymore, right? 20 years ago, if we are talking about the ERP or any SAP implementations, those are expensive. But then now, even the small, medium organizations, they can do some shape or forms of the transformation in the way they like. So, Teresa, can you give us some examples of the digital transformation experience you have seen, and also the type of the impact that you have experienced as well?
So having touched different type of roles in the digital domain, I observed that digital transformation is literally everything, literally everything that we touched. So from designing IoT to shaping a new team that has to embrace or needs to embrace some tools. It's all about digital transformation, and it's all about giving space. The fun thing is that sometimes we think, you just said that, Jesse, very well. Sometimes we think that using the fanciest tool will solve all the problems that we have in an organization, but it actually is not the truth. The truth is that you can have the fanciest tool, but not being well adopted or not being well embraced. The trick is making sure that whoever is going to use a tool or a technology is embracing it and is understanding where it's coming from and is building it together with whomever is introducing the technology. So, for example, one of the team I shaped, they had really the best tool in the market, but they were not using it. So what I wanted to do together with them is to empower them with the transformation itself. So create the right environment for the adoption and for understanding the dynamics that needed to change to make things more efficient, more effective, simple in some cases, because if you have a tool that is collecting all the information for you and then you have really to shove out a little bit of a dashboard, then you have a lot of time to do other things. The secret in digital transformation is making sure that whomever is touched by digitalization is understanding what is at stake, what needs to be changed in terms of processes, and what is changing in terms of dynamics. Is the biggest part and the most expensive part, I think, is mindset.
I think, Teresa, I have to say it's music to my ears hearing you talk about the importance of the mindset and about embracing the change and really spending lots of focus on that side of things, because that's a very best practice way of thinking about it. Because it's not just about the tools, as you say. You can offer someone the best tools, but if they are not seeing the value, if they're not somehow seeing themselves in the space or seeing how they fit in, then at the end of the day, it won't work. If I may, how do you cultivate that, especially with more of a hybrid digital global workplace? I mean, we've obviously been through a lot in the last 5 years. So how, I'm curious to understand, how has the journey shifted? What are some of the working practices maybe at Rolls-Royce in terms of presence in an office versus remote? And how do you as a leader really foster that collaboration and work on the mindset piece and the culture piece, given the hybrid nature of working?
If you would have asked me this question 5 years ago, I would say, oh no, we all need to be remote, fully remote, work from home. I was a big fan of working from home. Today, I'm really a mixed. It's like I like working from home when I have to concentrate and I have to focus on something specific. I like to go to the office to share and have some human contact, really. I discovered this about myself with the changes of the way of working today. It's like we need both. We need fully remote and not fully remote type of context, which is possible because we have amazing technologies today that are reducing distances physically. At the same time, the technologies themselves are not enough, because if you don't have the possibility to talk together with your peers, with your team at the coffee machine, you're losing a lot. So that is surely something that you want to make sure that is happening as well, even if you're remote. So maybe your team doesn't need to meet every day at 10 for half an hour. Maybe they just really need to have a board where they're writing the things that they're doing, they're working on, and what they would like to work on in the future, the delays and so on and so forth. But having the space and the dynamics of connection and continuum, I think that is very supportive in a hybrid type of environment.
Now, there's a hype about AI and everyone is talking about AI. So, Teresa, what is your view about the impact of AI in the transformation space?
It has huge potential. It has huge potential because since now everybody talks about AI, we are also understanding the impact and the importance of data. And collecting good data and maintaining good data and cleaning them, which is the basics of a good AI. If we don't have a good data set on the base, then we don't really have a good feedback from whatever AI technology you have in your hand. So that is something that we always need to remember and to challenge ourselves with. Like, do we have the right data? Do we have inclusive data? Do we have open data?
So there's definitely things to pay attention there. There's a lot of potential, but watch outs, things to get right. Yeah. And that's the key takeaway.
Get right. There is a lot of ethic behind it.
Yes. Yeah. And a huge amount of research in the ethics and AI space. Well, we have this question in the podcast series, which we ask every guest towards the end of the interview. And that is, looking ahead 5 years from now, what do you think it will mean to be a digital human? And we'd love to hear your perspective on that.
There is a lot that can be done. Reducing digital divide, for example, this is a thing that, as we said before, today technologies can be used by everyone. So why there are some people who might not have the possibility to use some technologies? And for sure, that could help diversity, could help zero impact on the planet, could be completely a different type of world, could be an inclusive world. We have amazing opportunities now. So it's our responsibility to use these opportunities.
Thank you, Teresa. A lot of inspiring insights. I learned a lot from you. Really, I personally took a lot of notes as well. So thank you so much for joining us, Teresa.
Thank you. It was very good fun. Very, very interesting questions.
Digital Humans is hosted by me, George Seiler.
And me, Jesse Tong.
Produced by Melanie Price and John McGinty. edited by Danny Cross, with artwork by Alex Matthews and scribed images by Ludic Creatives. This podcast is brought to you by SmartLab,